Okay, so the reason I'm up here is because I don't listen to my wife. She has been telling me for a long time, pay attention when people speak, you must listen properly to them, and I don't. And yesterday, Chris and I were on our way to Koramangala for our Bible study, and Pastor Brian called and he said, could you share for 10 minutes today? And I was like, yeah, sure. I put the phone down. And then it hit me. And I was like, and so for the next 10 minutes, I'm not sure what I told Chris, because I don't know what I said to you. But I'm excited to be over here. And I think we have something exciting to share also. I'm going to share on seeking the will of God. And I have two scripture portions. The first is from Acts chapter 7, verse 2. So you can turn in your Bibles there now. Okay, Acts chapter 7, verse 2. This is Stephen's address. And he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.'" Okay, now I want to draw your attention to that part. Get out of your country and from your relatives. Okay? And now let's move across to Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Okay, so what did we just read? That Abraham was asked to get out of the country and his relatives. And here's what happens. Verse 31. "And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there." So God asked Abraham to leave his family, and he takes his family with him. Okay, let's keep following now. Now, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So God says, okay, fine, he's made it to Haran, but he took his dad, he took his nephew with him, and everything else. So let me try again. So he says, chapter 12, verse 1. "And the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.'" And then in verse 4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." Do you see the rest of the verse? "And Lot went with him." So this is one of my favorite passages because I mean, it's easy for us to, you know, look back on this and say that I would have done it differently. But we need to realize what Abraham left behind. Abraham left behind in the Ur of the Chaldeans when he was there. He left behind a very comfortable life. The Chaldeans, the Sumerian civilization that was there, I've learned from the history lesson that we are doing in our homeschool. It was a really prosperous place. It was one of the most advanced civilizations at that time. And Abraham was, in some effect, he was leaving his, you know, 80 by 100 Koramangala site and all his cars and everything. And he was leaving that behind. And God was calling him into a land that had literally nothing in it. So we must understand where he was coming from. And we must understand that he did leave in obedience. And he took his family, he took his possession. He didn't leave, you know, it wasn't like the sannyasi stage of Hindu life where you leave everything and you walk off. He went with everything. And I can just imagine, you know, telling your wife, "Time to pack up and go." But that's what he did. He took his wife and his possessions and he moved. He left in obedience. So I just wanted to share six things that that I feel are characteristics of seeking the will of God, and things that that I have come to understand as the characteristics of that. The first is that the will of God is rarely going to make sense. And we know that. We know that from Ruth's life. when Ruth followed Naomi into Israel, remember the law of the land said that Moabites were not permitted to enter the assembly for 10 generations. She knows it. She knows the scripture. And yet she's made a decision to follow Naomi. Moses, he was a murderer in Egypt. But he was called back to return into the land and demand the largest slave population from the most powerful nation to be released. So it's really going to make sense. Okay, point number two, it's never going to contradict God's word and his ways. God's will never contradict his word and his ways. For Joseph, it meant saying no to his master Potiphar's wife, even though the consequence would end up being imprisoned. And that is Genesis 39:6-9. For the apostles, in Acts 5:27-29, it meant preaching the word of God rather than obeying the religious leadership. The religious leadership asked them that they need to restrain what they were sharing, but the apostles said very clearly, are we going to obey you or are we going to obey God? And they chose the latter. Okay, the third point. Operationalizing God's will is going to take steps of faith. So we have to start doing prayerfully and trust that God's will become revealed along the way. And I remember clearly when we moved back to Bangalore, one of the things that, you know, I was uncertain about, am I going to work as an ecologist? Am I going to, you know, try a different line of work? I had so many questions in my mind. What are we going to do about our homeschool? You know, where are we going to stay? All these things. But I remember Pastor Brian spoke once and he shared and he said, if you want to know the will of God, step out in faith and you will know the will of God. And, you know, 3 years down the line, I'm still an ecologist. I may not be one a year from now. But for now, I believe that's what the will of God is. So we need to start doing things prayerfully and trust that God's will be revealed. For the widow at Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 8 through 15, it meant that she had to provide her last meal to Elijah the prophet first. She first had to make him the meal, and then there was provision for the rest of the famine for her son and herself. So we need to start doing things, and God's will be revealed along the way. Okay, the fourth point, so we have, it's really going to make sense. The second point is, it's never going to contradict God's word and his ways. The third is that operationalizing God's will takes steps of faith. The fourth is that it doesn't depend on perfect execution or even understanding on my part, because it's God's will. So it doesn't depend on me. We know from Jacob's story in Genesis 27 all the way through Genesis 32, God always knew that inside Jacob the deceiver was Israel, the man who was with God, who was going to wrestle with God. He always knew that. Jacob wouldn't know it. Laban wouldn't know it. Nobody else would know it. But God knew that there was an Israel inside of Jacob. In John 1:42, God always knew that there was a Peter inside Simon. Notwithstanding and knowing that he is going to deny him, he knew that was coming. He knew that he was going to take his eyes off him when he was walking on the water. He knew all of that. But he knew inside him was somebody who was going to become the rock, who was going to become Peter. Okay, the fifth one is that it helps develop our eyes of faith. And for this, I'm going to ask you all to look back into your Bibles again, Genesis 13. And I'm going to contrast two different responses. Genesis 13, chapter 10. And 11. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. Okay, so we know the story so far. The story so far is Abraham and Lot have now come into Canaan, and there's been an argument that's happened between their shepherds because there's been conflict over the sheep and over the flocks that are grazing. And Abraham and Lot have come together, and they've said, "We need to figure this out. We need to do something about it." And so Abraham turns to Lot, Abraham the older, he's the uncle. He turns to Lot, his nephew, and he says, "You decide. You decide where you want to go. Wherever you go, I'll choose the opposite direction." And here's what happens. Verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So Lot used his sight. We are all born with our sight. We do it all the time. We use our sight and we make decisions. Okay, I can see this, and that one doesn't look so good. Pros and cons, we call them pros and cons, pluses and minuses, and we always try to figure out which one is the best way. And we do that by sight all the time. But then, verse 14, and I love this, is one of my favorite scriptures, contrasts so much with verse 10. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look now from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Lot lifted his eyes, and Lot saw what he could decide based on his intellect and based on all that he knew about grazing and all that. But Abraham waited for God to raise his eyes, and God raised his eyes, and God showed him something completely different. So the will of God helps us develop these eyes of faith. Okay, and the last point that I have is that the will of God is characterized by the experiential presence of God. And for that, we have none other than the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read John chapter 6, verse 38 and 39. Where he says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. So, Jesus did a lot of miracles. He fed, 5,000 people, then 4,000. He healed people. He raised them from death. He performed miracle after miracle. In fact, John's gospel says that you can't keep a record of the number of miracles that he did. But it is very clear that Jesus came here to do the will of his Father. You could even argue that Jesus didn't come here to die on the cross. All he did was that he came to do the will of his Father. Whatever his Father required of him, he did. If that meant going on the cross, that's what he would do. And it comes up even in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asks his Father, three times he asks him, Father, whatever, I don't want this, but it doesn't matter what I want, not my will, but your will be done. And I'll stop with that. And let's just close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for worship, Lord. Thank you for just knowing about your will, Lord, and knowing that all the blessings we have from being in your will, Lord. We thank you that you desire for us to know your ways, Lord, and not just your acts, Lord. Let us help us, Lord. We pray not to be like Israel, Lord, not to be the one who know your works, but like Moses, Lord, to be the one who know your ways, Lord. And we thank you for this time that you have given us, Lord. And bless the rest of the evening. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.